serious, man.
The Sharpshooters, episode 61, April 15th, 2006. Welcome everybody to another edition of the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus the Grin Vanelli.
And we are the Sharpshooters. I guess he feels like he needs to be Macho Man somewhat today.
I don't know. I just felt like I had to talk like that today.
Well, today is a first. This is the first ever show where TNA and SmackDown have met together.
They have meshed together.
They have made a baby called pay-per-views.
How did they call pay-per-views?
I don't know.
That don't make any sense. They made a good week for wrestling after Raw starts it off with the misery that it is.
Well, anyway, I'm not going to bash on Raw because Raw needs help.
Indeed. God! This man, he signed him. Maybe he can make the moves.
I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
So now it's time to move on to the show. Before we start, as usual, let's give out our website information. The website is thesharpshooters. That's da.blogspot.com.
Chup.
Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
Shop.
You can leave a voicemail via Skype with the username thesharpshooters or dial the number 310-928-6889.
Chop.
Now, normally right here we would mention Podcast Alley,
yes,
and iTunes, but as me and Marcus say numerous week, we don't care. But we do like the Frapper Map. So
yes,
if you guys can add yourself to the Frapper Map, that's what Marcus keeps track of. Has anybody added themselves recently, Marcus?
No!
All right. So with that out the way, let's move into the news. There's only two news stories going on right
now. You didn't want to put the other
I one. Feel that Vince being the most hated sports person is just not newsworthy.
That's news.
Because Vince is a character. There's no proof that he's like that
he's
outside.
He's evil, you know it.
I don't know. He plays a great evil man on TV. People say Steve Jobs is evil. People say Bill Gates is good. How do we know? It might be vice versa.
They're all evil. Google is evil too.
Anyway, you're evil?
I'm not evil.
You're not evil.
I'm on the light side of the force.
That's not when you was playing Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, no. I was on the light side now.
Or when you was playing Fable, you wanted to be that guy too? This is no video game podcast. Let's get back into it. The first news story, it's a question actually. Can Randy Orton actually be gone for the WWE for good? The PW Torch newsletter reports that Randy Orton's 60-day suspension is actually an indefinite suspension. There are reports that he simply may not be brought back.
Oh!
To keep him away from TNA, though, they may keep him under contract until his deal is over while paying him the smallest amount of money possible. Now, what? I hate to say, Randy Orton had to really piss some people off because I just can't see calling somebody a cunt to draw this much hatred.
No, but it's not just that. He's supposed to just be a total asshole backstage. He's all warrior, ultimate warrior-ish, I think. He thinks he's the greatest wrestler ever. But that's what he did, and not respected the people who came before him, like the Undertaker, Flair, and Angle.
But isn't that what most kids do nowadays? They don't respect the elders.
Yeah, but you don't know what he's trying to do it to the extreme, like, I want my own locker room, my own type of water. You drink sparkling, I want Arrowhead.
I would love to see a wrestling reality show just to see what happens backstage. Just once a year, we get what happened. I want to see Randy Orton walk around getting people to figure like, F
well,
you.
I've been proposing for a while that we get a best of what you call of like Raw or TNA or whatever every year. The show with the best moments of the year. And they follow the wrestlers. Just, they're always with them every day. You follow them around, see what they like. You know, get a little mini documentary.
You know, like one thing I did like that they did in SmackDown this week, I like how they gave you that recap of what happened throughout the night. They put emphasis on the main points of what they want you to focus on in the show. You remember how they showed Booker T, then they showed the JBL match and stuff like that. I thought that was a nice touch.
Also around the King of the Ring.
Yeah. But back to Randy Orton. At least WWE realized, though, they can't let this guy go. Because you let him go to TNA, TNA is a competitor.
Because now they have a cunning vet by the name of Sting, not Steve Borden. They have Christian, pretty much what he is.
I have to say, Christian to me, and I will talk about this in TNA, I kind of understand why WWE really didn't make him the champion. It's I don't know if it's the TNA formula Or it could it be Christian, but I'll get into that when we get to TNA.
Now, and then you have, if you pull in Orton, young, great on the mic, good wrestler, pretty good, and seemed like he could improve over years.
Actually, I think I would put him a great wrestler. Randy Orton has had, I can't really think of any bad matches that he has had.
He's had a few.
Yeah, but it might have been his opponent, because it might have been John Cena.
Yeah, but, you know, he had a lot of bad matches. He can still grow.
Yeah,
that's the point.
He has growth. I mean, and that's what TNA needs is some growth. Also, they need some big guys in there, because the big guys that they have aren't really that big. Scott Steiner.
And they can't really wrestle.
No. All right, so that's enough on Randy Orton. Do you have anything else to add?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, so moving to the next story. My favorite wrestler has received, reportedly, an extension. Chris Benoit has signed a new deal with WWE. Reports say that Benoit has recently signed a multi-year deal with the WWE. People feel that Benoit could be considered a lifer within the company, because when his wrestling days end, he will have a job as a road agent or a talent trainer waiting for him.
Mm.
I just think it's great that they locked up Chris Benoit once again. I think what this shows to me, though, is that WWE does have some fear towards TNA wrestling.
Yes, because if you don't lock up Chris Benoit, and like we said, Orton, two very good wrestlers,
mm-hmm.
and Chris Benoit's pretty much like one of the top three wrestlers in the business.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, like,
I put
when
this
do you
one.
Get a bad match?
Benoit has had like a streak for the last 3 months. He hasn't done a bad match no matter who he's been against.
Well, the JBL at WrestleMania was alright. It wasn't like...
But it was serviceable. I mean, when I say a bad match, I mean a match that's not enjoyable.
Like a Snitsky.
Yeah, pretty much the match at WrestleMania... It was like, it was there. It
Past
was a good
time.
Match. It was just like, it shouldn't have been WrestleMania. I actually felt that the match on SmackDown should have been WrestleMania compared to the match on the WrestleMania. But you know, what can you do?
And I feel it's also smart to get him and keep him in the company. That would help train other wrestlers. Like, for instance, Gunner Scott, as people call it, the Chris Benoit
of the minor league.
Yes. Have Chris Benoit work with him, give him more moves, and tutelize, you know. You know, help tutelize these younger talents and advance their abilities.
I still think, I don't know, I really think they should bring back Farouk. I think you really need to help Shelton. Shelton needs
what
somebody.
What's that do Benoit on
because I'm just saying that, like, you know, you have Benoit, you have Orton, great talents. You have Shelton Benjamin, a great talent, but he just...
He needs a manager.
He needs a Daivari. Yeah. He needs somebody to speak for him. He needs a James Mitchell. I mean, just think about it, with Abyss. Without James Mitchell, Abyss is really a piece of trash.
What they could have did with Shelton, this is really digressing off of Chris Benoit's long-term contract.
But we're trying to get the 10-minute newsstand like we always do.
And to totally digress, but what they should have did, would give him that, you know, that guy, what's his name, who's working with Omega.
Oh,
the talker. You know him?
Alejandro Estrada.
Alejandro Estrada. They could have gave him him instead of, you know, teaming up with Jamal and doing this stupid gimmick of... the thumb is the worshiping thumb guy. And
leave that alone.
They could have did that and gave him some type of manager. That dude would have worked.
All right. So is that enough on this, though? Just like to see that TNA is actually putting some fear into them. Speaking of TNA, we're going to take our brief break. We'll be back with Thursday Night Impact. Welcome, everybody, to the premiere edition of TNA Impact on their new night, Thursday night, following Ultimate Fighter.
Yes.
I have to say, I hate this move. It really makes it inconvenient to watch wrestling. It's like you have Thursday, you have Saturday and Friday, and it's all jam-packed together.
Nah, same thing. Well, you don't get a day rest from wrestling.
It's like, at least you got a rest.
You get 2 days from Thursday.
And then what's also crazy out here, TNA Explosion comes on right after SmackDown. On the Sun Network.
Yeah, but it's like, it's 2 weeks old.
I don't care. It's just the principle of the situation. Wrestling overkill.
No, it's not.
But
you can't get too much wrestling. Then you got Women's Extreme Wrestling.
My first gripe with this damn thing right here is that I guess I found out later that you can watch the beginning of this match online, But guess what? Yeah, they didn't advertise that. The first match of the night was Christopher Daniels versus Samoa Joe for the X Division title. The bad part about this match, when they came live on the air or whenever they were taped live, the match was already in progress.
And Christopher Daniels was already down and out of the
game. Yeah, then they showed the highlights of what we missed before Impact came on. And then that's when Christopher Daniels had his ultimate flurry. But then we get back to the ring and he's bleeding because he's busted open.
Yes.
Joe focuses on Daniels' cut throughout the whole match, and then he lands his patent chop kick knee drop onto Daniels. Then Joe lands a high knee to the head of Daniels when he tries to come back. Joe pounds on Daniels in the corner. Pretty much at this early part of the match, Joe was dominating the Fallen Angel.
Yes, as he always does.
Yes. Daniels escapes his second face wash attempt, and he attempts it with a dragon whip. He lands a high knee, but Joe catches him with a rock bottom type maneuver.
It's the STO!
STO, whatever. I didn't know if exactly it was the STO, because it didn't look exactly like the STO.
It was a very violent STO.
I don't know, just because he's so small. Joe lands a powerbomb when they come back from break, and then he applies the Boston Crab. But this is when he goes on a flurry of submission holds.
And this is why he's a Samoan submission
machine. He goes from the Boston Crab to the STF to the crossface to a leg behind the head neck lock. I don't know what that was.
I think that was the nicest one.
It was the one I had never seen before.
I probably seen it, just you don't recognize, because he was just going through. It was a different type of Boston Crab. It looked like he was a Styles Clash, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole purpose of the Boston Crab. He could have just really did those other moves first. After this, though, Daniels does get some moves in. He lands multiple enziguris and also a chest cracker. I didn't know the exact name of it. Just imagine Carlito's back cracker done to the chest.
Yes, so Carlito's going to start stealing this, too.
Then he climbs to the top of the rope, which had no reason for me, and hit him with a diving forearm. Then he hurricanranas him from the top rope onto Joe. Daniels then, they go into a slap fight where they exchange slaps with each other. Mm-hmm. Daniel does an STO and then follows that up with the BME, or the best moonsault ever.
Woo!
Then he takes Joe up top, and this is where Joe catches him with the island driver from the top rope to regain the X Division Championship. While Joe is celebrating in the ring, Sabu music hits. Now,
Mama Sabu!
No, that's not my biggest gripe. If I remember a couple of weeks ago, Larry Zbysko distinctly said that, Joe, you're through with the X Division. You need to move on.
Yeah, I thought he was going to eventually challenge Christian for the world NWA title.
Now it looks like he's the X Division champion again. So does this mean Sab, the match at Lockdown is going to be for the X Division?
I don't think so.
Why? Because X Division has no limits, no size. Yeah. Why not?
But also, what about Christopher Daniels? Were they supposed to fight that one? Oh, yeah, they canceled that.
They canceled that match. So, do you think by them canceling that match, maybe this is why he lost the belt?
Well, I don't even think Samoa Joe was supposed to lose the belt in the first place. Remember, in that match, he did go blind. And, you know, and then it just ended weird how Daniels just went up there and got it.
That could be a possibility.
That could be the whole possibility behind all this. And the Bisco whole, I'm going to pull you out of X Division, really made no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, because they dropped that subject like a bad habit.
But back to the match. This could have been the best match of the month, week, or whatever you want to say. Cause it was what I saw was very entertaining. But what took me out of, I'm missing all of Christopher Daniels, the exhibition offense, and he did the flip slam
outside
thing over Joe, and then he did the split legged moonsault on Joe, and
then he got busted open. I just don't see how you're gonna debut on a new time slot and already have the match in progress.
Yeah.
And then when I see some of the other matches of the night, it's like you could have cut those short.
They could have cut the Eric Young and Sting match. Who really needed to see Showtime versus Showtime?
Well, no, I understand the Sting match.
No, they could have shortened it. They had to go on commercial break.
The Sting thing is what kept the people watching, because people want to see Sting. The street fight, on the other hand, could have been cut short because it accomplished nothing to me. But before we even get to that, it was two segments that went before. Jerry Barash interviews Stings. He talks about his challenge to Jared. He wonders if Jared has the stomach for it. He then talks about his team and how they will be picked tonight. Pretty much, Sting repeated the same thing he's been saying for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, but lately, haven't you noticed? This has been bugging me about Sting. Doesn't it look like he's been drinking a can of Hershey syrup with that little thing painted at the bottom of his back?
I don't know what that is.
It looks like he was drinking a can of Hershey syrup and it just kind of slipped off his mouth and dripped down. He needs to do something about that.
But then after this is the worst thing that happened directly after that interview. It was time for a Christian Cage interview.
Which was the 2 weeks ago interview they showed.
But the thing about...
Before he got his ass whooped, I think.
Exactly. This is what happens. He says, Christian says he realized when he is in the public, he gives up a lot of things. He said when he saw his wife being stalked, he felt helpless. Being champion, he knows that everybody wants a piece of him, but his wife did not want any action. Mitchell crossed the line when he went after his wife. His life flashed before his eyes when he was under the water. He says that the match is just personal now. Now, Marcus, that disproves the fact that it was taped 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was, because he mentioned being dunked under the water. My issue with this man came into your house, beat your ass, he stalked your wife, yet you're giving a calm interview. Oh, yeah, it's personal. How personal is when you're not even getting angry with it? You know,
well, he was angry last week talking about he's ready to die.
Yeah, but
that was passion. He was like,
that was not even really passion, right? It was better than this, because now he's like, yeah, you know, I'm going out for tea and crumpets after the match, but it's going to be personal. It's like, it was no energy behind it. It's not like the Triple H and Edge hate that they have. You know, it's like, I hate you. You know, like Triple H, when someone does something to his family, I'm going to get you, you know. Or John Cena, at least, you know, when John Cena, when they were doing the contract signing, he was pissed. Christian just looked like he was happy.
You know, he just didn't look like he didn't care. He looked exhausted.
Yeah.
He looked like, damn, I've been working on this movie. I've been beat up by Abyss, and I came in the ring with a crowbar, and I'm tired.
And the thing,
I'm going to die.
And the thing
been waiting my wheel all day.
As once again, as... I never thought this could be so true, but I think the way that you dress makes you the champion. I just, for some reason, his outfits does not work saying champion. John Cena outfits work, it fits his character, but Christian...
The hat doesn't. The hunting hat, but the t-shirts
and all that. I mean, it's camouflages for the chain gang. But you know, like, it fits his image. Triple H in suits. You know, Rey Mysterio in the headdress, I guess, whatever.
Rey Mysterio hasn't really came out as champion much, no, other than if he's wrestling.
But he's hurt. He got a bad knee or something like that. But the point is, Christian comes out in tight jeans and a tight t-shirt. In some ways, he looks just like Jarrett.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
That's what's bad.
He comes out looking aside and your phone rings again.
No, that's a text message.
Oh, well, anyway, where was we? Oh, Christian, yeah, I can see his problems. Maybe because they don't have the money for a nice suit, but he looks like he damn sure had the money.
Yeah, that house.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him come out in a suit or something. I wouldn't mind seeing him on Impact. But apparently, he's only show up like once every 3 weeks.
Jared, when he was a champion, he was there every week. I was sick of him.
And he's still there every week.
Christian is a champion. I don't see that for him.
Every other week. Every other two
weeks. Well, anyway, that was our mom ran on Christian. Now let's move on to the street fight. America's Most Wanted, James Storm and the Wildcrack Chris Harris versus Team 3D. Team 3D throws AMW out of the ring. All of a sudden, for no reason whatsoever, Gail Kim and Jackie jump into the ring. Gail slaps Jackie down, then they roll out of the ring. Before I even go on with the rest of the match, Marcus, have you figured out what the hell that was about?
I figured out that Gail Kim wanted to beat Jackie in her ass in the ring. And another thing in this match was very street.
No, only reason why it was street because AMW came out in jeans and a white beater.
Yes.
It was nothing else street about this match. It proved that the Dudleys are out of shape. Part of me don't even want to read the little bit of highlights I have, but I might as well go through with it. Devon lands a double clothesline onto AMW and tags Bubble in, who tosses AMW out of the ring. Bubble rams Harris' head into a chair held up by a fan. Devon then hits Storms with the title belt. Bubba slams Harris in front of the foam of support and then hits him with the belt. A belt that came from the fan. And when I said he hit him into this wall, he didn't even throw Chris Harris into the wall hard.
It's like
that.
Shit material.
Once again, AMW gets control and Harris lands a super kick on Devon, but Bubba then backdrops Storms out of the ring. Bubba misses a bubble bomb. Storm clocks Bubba with a garbage can. AMW attempts the death sentence on Devon, but Bubba makes the save. Dudleys go for the pin, but Petey yanks the ref out of the ring, and they are attacked by Team Canada. Eric Young is about to jump through a table onto Devon, but Spike, or Brother Runt, I think they're calling him, runs in for the save. He lands the Dudley Dog on EY, Eric Young, and then they give A1 and 3D through the table. Mm-hmm. Right here. You're trying to tell me that Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels couldn't get more time so we can see Spike Dudley debut? Is that what this was about?
I didn't really care. I found it nothing. I mean, the match wasn't that bad. I mean, Dudley's have been in a lot worse. But it's just, I just felt that if you want to go to a street fight, really go all out with a street fight. Use more weapons than what they use. They barely use a chair, which a fan brought in. They used a belt, which a fan brought in. Then they had the trash can, which really wasn't that effective on Bubba. But by the way, speaking of trash cans, can somebody please explain to me, what the hell is Bobby Roode attempting to do? He put the trash can in Bubba's head and began stumping the trash can. And then he realized this isn't doing anything, so he decided to stump him anyway.
I thought that was ridiculous.
Man, I just feel that still doesn't make it fair. I mean, the Dudley Boys and Spike versus like 5 or 6 members of Team Canada in a cage.
I just think that Team Canada is wasting their time with Jarrett. That's just me.
Yeah, and it just seems like everybody's working with Jarrett.
All right, they show the video again where Sting talks about why he came back to TNA and also that Jarrett needs to go. He plugs that the cage match with the ceiling was his idea. Same old stick that we got for Sting for the past 2 weeks. Jeremy Borash is backstage with Jarrett, and he wants to know his response to Sting's challenge. Jarrett says he always solves his own problems. Then he calls EY and says that he's giving him the opportunity to face Sting tonight. Of course, EY was not too happy about this. So, the match starts as Eric Young versus Sting. Before the match, Alex Shelley comes out to the ring. He sets up his camera. Sting's no-sells some punches from EY, and he tosses them to the outside of the ring. Sting does a crossbody block over the tie rope onto Shelley and Young. Looks like it was the worst one I've seen in a long time.
Sting didn't look like he was in the best of shape in this one.
Looked like Steve Borden came to the fight.
Well, anyway, I mean, the crossbody, everybody does in TNA, but it didn't come out as smooth as it was supposed to look. Maybe he'll do it better next time.
Yeah. So Sting then misses a Stinger splash on the barricade. Back from the break, this is what gave EY the control of the match until he misses a Stinger splash of his own, and then he gets crotch. The Moore tries to interfere, but he gets some of the Stinger splash. The Scorpion Death Drop is applied to EY, and he wins the match. After this, Alex Shelley tried to come into the ring and attack Sting, but he gets put into the worst Scorpion Deathlock I've ever seen.
What?
It was not.
Come on, there's been worse.
It looked like he was rested.
There's been worse.
So Jarrett runs to the ring with his guitar, but he misses the shot. Jarrett swings the guitar, but Sting stops it with his bat. Then Team Jarrett runs out to attack Sting. Rhino, The Truth, and AJ Styles run out for the save. And then all of a sudden, Sting grabs a mic, call Jarrett's camp a bunch of kids and children, and then announce that his team is inside the ring. The Truth is really happy. He gives Sting a hug. And that's how it goes. Now, my question about this whole lockdown thing, are they going to be making the ring bigger? Because I see a lot of people. I just can't see all those people inside that ring.
It's big enough. It's pretty much the same size of every ring. It's just this octagon.
I don't know.
But my whole situation with this whole little event with Eric Young and all that, and Hoopla and Sting and Jarrett's team and them. One problem with this. Sting was going to make an announcement of his team with us. And I thought maybe they'd pull somebody new and fresh and not the same old people minus Norman Smiley and Jay Lethal. Pretty much that's all they did. Well, Sharkboy too. I thought maybe TNA had locked in Goldberg, but that apparently didn't work. Because he was like, I'm going to upstage you, Jarrett. Talk about like he got a big name or something. Didn't have no big name that we haven't seen before. I would have liked to see him like bring in Jeff Hardy. I know he ain't like the greatest, but.
I mean, you haven't seen him in a while. I think for me, this Impact episode, it was good, but it really dropped the ball for me right after the Samoa Joe Daniels match, because that really started to set the bar really high, because it was a good match. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, it just started to nosedive. I understand having Sting as the last match, because he is the money man right now. He's what making people watch TNA, because he's the name. But the point is, the street fight didn't have to be done. It's nice to see Team 3D actually fight AMW for a change instead of Team Canada. But, of course, Team Canada eventually got involved.
And honestly, that should be the feud right there for me, the AMW Team 3D. And I believe that match should have been more a street fight instead of regular wrestling match. Regular match with no rules, pretty much. They would go to the stands anyway. It seems like.
Was there a victor in this match, or?
No, I believe it was a DQ and
okay,
Dudley's win.
First of all, DQ, I thought in a street fight it was no such thing as a DQ.
I don't know if there was a victor or not. Was it? Oh, no, I think they beat him. hemmed up, and I think they lost.
Okay, first of all, got the pin. I don't think that would have been better if they would just beat the hell out of each other and was like no clear winner, but I don't remember. But that was TNA.
No, I want to comment more.
Oh.
Also, there's some positives on this. Since the move Thursday night, they don't just play their garbage like Bullet Bob and Conan. I'm glad they kept that off. Disappointed they kept Christian and Abyss off. Because that is your title. It's probably the most prestigious title in the world, but yet they left it off. I was disappointed with that. Daniels and Joe, wish I would have seen it in full, but still a great match. That's pretty much all I have to say. Otherwise, a pretty good Impact.
I would think for a premiere edition of a wrestling show, even though it is old, but on Thursday, to catch the new viewers, you would think you would have the champion on TV. In the ring instead of on video. But, hey, I'm not running TNA. Who am I to say what they did was wrong?
But this Impact just picks up the slack from last week. At least
it did pick up the slack.
See, at least it's not the same stupid storylines. You don't have Slick Johnson running to Zabisco. You don't have...
Yeah, but you know it's going to come back, though.
I know, but I'm just saying, this is a good Impact. They kept all their garbage off, and they came out with a more fluid show which they could produce in an hour.
Now, I'll put it this way. You might not agree with me. But I think that the SmackDown this Friday was a perfect model for how a wrestling show should be paced.
Of course!
And
SmackDown's been the perfect model of how wrestling should be
paced. No, but I think lately that SmackDown has been falling off, but I think what they did on this night really excelled the whole... You know what? We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the SmackDown report, and I'll enlighten more on my theory.
Your conspiracies.
Indeed. The original will always be the greatest entrance of a show ever. Not that bull shakalaka that they got on there right now. I'm really upset by that. I'm really upset about the new thing.
Where the hell did boom shakalaka come
from? I don't
from?
Know where the boom shakalaka came from. It came from the boom shakalaka boom.
When's the last time you heard the words boom shakalaka?
Just now, a couple seconds ago.
Boom shakalaka.
All right, now let's move on to the show. How did SmackDown start off? It started off a way a real wrestling show should start off. It starts off with someone talking.
But not all the time.
But
isn't the right way to start a show with somebody talking?
But, see, no, it's right way if he comes out there with a purpose. Booker T comes out there.
He had no purpose.
He had an ultimate purpose, and I'll let you know why. Booker T and Charmel come out to the ring. They admire the throw and the cape and the crown and ring. He talks about his restraining order and says because of it, the book is a boogeyman free zone.
Woo!
Book is upset about Teddy Long costing him the match against Gunner Scott, and he says it will never happen again because he is great and he will prove it at the King of the Ring.
Excuse me, it's Gunner somebody.
Okay, that's what he said, but it's Gunner Scott. He feels that the King of the Ring makes careers. He goes over the participants involved in the King of the Ring, and Charmel feels that no one can hold a candle to him because he was born to be king. He asks for the crowd to rise and bow down to the next king. He tries on the crown and the cape. He's prancing around. He's dubbing everybody. He's knighting everybody. Then all of a sudden, Lashley got fed up, comes out to the ring, and spears Booker T. And Booker T's like, what's that for? Who was that guy? What did he do that for me?
I don't even know him.
Now, can I tell you why I like this segment?
Why?
First, it established the King in the Ring. Okay. Made the King in the Ring seem really important. And it once again, it confused us. We have no idea who's going to win this King of the Ring. I think Booker has a good shot. I feel that Booker and Lashley have to cross paths somehow because there's no reason for Lashley to come out there as Spider Man.
Well, of course Booker T is making it to the next round. You know why?
Why?
Because he's fighting Matt Hardy in the first one.
But you know what the thing is, though? Maybe they'll let Matt Hardy win for a change. I don't know. Maybe the Boogeyman will cost him. It's like, and another thing I don't know, is this a pay-per-view or is this
strictly SmackDown? Because Judgment Day is coming up, they would have advertised the King of the Ring coming up.
So. Yeah, so I guess it's just that. I just thought it was a good segment. Booker T, once again, is very entertaining. I don't know why he was making the faces when he had the crowd and stuff, but he did.
He had to tilt the hat to the side for style. But anyway, it was funny that Lashley did it because it made sense. For some reason, it seemed like somebody had to just come out and just
watching TV. Okay, I can't take no more of this shit. I'm going to walk out there and spin this man.
Because it seemed like somebody, instead of having the typical, let's say, Benoit or Matt Hardy come out there. Well, Matt Hardy would have made sense, but it just seems like, you know what? Somebody had to stop because I wanted to punch him.
But see, yeah, after a while, I was like, shut up.
Get him a dupe.
But see, I think what they're doing with Lashley is they're trying to establish him without talking.
Yeah.
They're just making him a dominant force.
Well, they did that with Goldberg. I mean, he didn't really say anything for like 2 years when his streak was going on. And they did that with, who else did they do it with? Somebody else had it. Brock didn't really say anything for a while. And they had Paul Heyman do all the talking.
Indeed. Now, moving on to the next match. I believe, I don't know, this might be the first, or in a long time, the first Johnny Nitro singles match.
This is the first Johnny Nitro singles match that you, in about 5 years.
Because all I know is always Joey Mercury. But anyway, he's facing Brian Kendrick.
And this is like the first Brian Kendrick.
Which is another good thing. Instead of making a tag team fight again, you do what they did old school. You make each member fight once a week. Next week, we got to get London versus Mercury.
Which I'm actually looking forward to because both of them are really talented wrestlers.
And London did some things in the ring he should have. Had no business doing.
He just crossed the middle of the ring.
So anyway, they showed a victory that happened last week where London and Kendrick scored the win against Eminem. The match starts. Nitro gives Kendrick the stroke on the middle rope and applies a headlock. Nitro tosses Kendrick out and Melina slaps him around. What I thought was nice about this, once again, someone does a stroke better than Jared.
It wasn't really a stroke, was it?
It was a stroke,
he just slammed his hand into the middle turnbuckle.
It looked like a stroke. And also, I liked how the announcer was selling the fact of why Melina was slapping Kendrick around because of what they did last week to her.
I don't remember what they did.
Remember, she was doing her split, and they picked her up and they carried her around.
Yes, they did disrespect her.
Alright, so Kendrick finally does get some offense. He lands a springboard missile dropkick and then drives Nitro face into his knee. He lands a heel kick and climbs the top rope. London flies through the second rope onto Mercury because Mercury was trying to interfere. So it was kind of weird. It was like all of a sudden you just see a streak of light run through the ring. And he's like, oh my God.
Oh, what is he doing? Because he just came out of left field.
So, Melina hops on the apron. Kendrick runs Nitro into Melina. Nitro goes to check on Melina. All of a sudden, Kendrick sneaks behind him and wins the match with a victory roll. Nice high-paced match. Was kind of nice seeing the fans were really into Kendrick. And really what's crazy about these guys is that to really know Kendrick in London, you really have to watch velocity. But I think people are respecting their in-ring energy and the agility that they are doing inside the ring.
Just because the week you see him, you see that that's a good tag team.
Because remember the last time we saw them before this little feud with Eminem, they were getting killed by the Gemini.
And another thing that SmackDown is doing right, they're establishing the tag team division with multiple tag teams.
Yeah, they're establishing different storylines. Like with the next match, you have anything else to add on this match?
Other than that, the tag team titles actually feel important on SmackDown right now. Yeah. Currently, somewhat. So,
what happens next, they show the deal that was made between Regal and Burchill last week and how Burchill defeated him and now Regal has to become his buxom wench.
Mm-hmm.
Burchill knocks on the door and asks Lady Regal, was he ready? The door opens and he laughs at Regal. Regal complains that the shoes are killing and the knickers are running up his selection box. I had no idea what a selection box is, but
you know
I ain't never heard it be called a selection box before. What the hell do you select? And it's cutting off his circulation. Burchill grabs the mic when he comes out to the ring after he swings in. He introduces the most beautiful woman since Queen Elizabeth, Lady Regal. Regal swings in, but he falls down, doesn't even make it to the ramp. Then it was just crazy. Then announcers pointed out that Regal would have to be dressed this way until Burchill loses.
So it's going to be some weeks.
Weeks.
Especially if he's fighting people like Rasheed Brown.
So what happens is, Burchill was fighting Rasheed Brown. Only thing that you need to know about this match is that Regal hopped up on the side of the apron, Nux on hand, about to try to do some dirt to Burchill. But all of a sudden, Burchill pushed Brown into Regal. Then he walked the plank with Brown for the win.
Yes.
My issue with this is Rasheed related to Monty?
Is he related to Ahmed Johnson? I mean, is he related to Bobby Lashley? All three of these guys have the same damn gimmick.
The bad part about Rasheed Brown, he thought he was tough.
Yes, and I don't see why he didn't do the typical, I'm a heel jobber, I should try to get the advantage of Burchill while he's distracted with Regal, attack him from behind.
I wish they would just call the walk the plank to C4, because it's kind of hard to say. Because to me, Burchill, WTP? No, Burchill's walking the plane. It just doesn't sound right.
WTP.
Yeah, the WTP would sound better. So anyway, we move on. Crystal.
No, B, not P.
Oh, yes. Anyway. It's a good match. Establish a storyline. It's going to be funny. Basic, it's just establishing a side story.
It's pretty much, think about it, the TNA Jackie Gator story. In which Regal is playing the role of Jackie Gator and Burchill get to pick what he wears every week.
But this one makes sense.
Yeah, because he won the match to do it. Well, he gets to choose the match he wants, and, you know, and Regal every week will try to prevent Burchill from winning, but apparently will fail.
Well, Crystal's backstage interviewing Kurt Angle, and apparently she really liked it, her tied necklace, because she wore it again.
Did she?
Yeah, she did. Kurt, once again, congratulate Rey Mysterio on being a champion, and he says that Randy Orton cost him his title. He says Orton is going to find out how much the title meant to him, because he is going to take his rage out on Randy tonight.
He did.
Pretty much is saying that Kurt Angle is going to whoop Randy's ass.
Due to suspension.
Matt Hardy, next match is Matt Hardy versus Road Warrior Animal.
I've been looking forward to this for weeks!
They show a clip from Velocity, a rare clip from Velocity, where Animal attacked Hardy after Hardy had a match with somebody with a steel chair and went to work on his arm. When they got back into the ring, Hardy was selling the arm injury. Animal comes out. Hardy tried to jump Animal before the match, but they just eventually ended up inside the ring. Hardy lands a Twist of Fate for the win, and he qualified for the King of the Ring.
Yes, very.
Pretty much, hopefully, this ends the feud with him and Road Warrior.
And pretty much, hopefully, this is the end of Road Warrior. This was a squash match. I mean, Simon Dean has said this was a short match.
I would rather see Tatanka in this match than...
What happened to Tatanka?
I don't know.
He's on Velocity probably.
Now, we had no Rey Mysterio on this show, but we did get the Rey Mysterio journey to the champion.
Oh, man.
They showed the video of what took Rey to become the champion. What I'm upset about this, and I think a couple other listeners are upset about this too, is that I'm tired of them pointing out the size of Rey Mysterio.
Of course.
I just think, let him be champion, let him move on.
But
one of our listeners' conspiracy theory when we get this email actually makes a lot of good sense.
Oh, wow.
Did you read it?
No.
About the whole Batista coming back and stuff like that? Oh, it makes perfectly good sense when we take our break.
Oh, wait. I think I read this.
Anyway. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say with Rey, and this is going to be the problem. It's going to be hard to fill him in on the show because his promo skills and them bringing up he's smaller than everything aren't the best. Not the best choice. How do you fit him in the show? And currently, he has nobody to fill with. Kurt's in the King of the Ring, Orton suspended.
Well, it's kind of worse out for him because he has his knee injury. No, Kurt is in the King of the Ring.
Do you feel with Mark Henry who's just lingering around?
Don't bring up Mark Henry. So we're moving on to the next match. It's JBL versus Chris Benoit. Early in the night, they announced that JBL celebration would be postponed because Benoit activated his rematch clause. God damn it, Benoit. How dare you cost me the celebration of a lifetime?
I was disturbed that we missed the celebration of a lifetime. You remember his last celebration when he retained the WWE title? I've never seen so much confetti.
Yes, you did. When Vince. So anyway, to make up for this, Teddy Long comes out to the ring after Benoit makes his entrance and announced that this will be a cage match. And he went over the ways to win the match, submission, pinfall, out the cage, or escaping the cage.
Now, what I liked about this was a good old-fashioned cage match.
Good old-fashioned cage match. And the thing about was accomplished about this cage match, they did it without blood. It proves that you don't need blood to make a cage match work.
Blair just bleeds now. it's just, you don't need it. I mean, you could just have a regular cage match. It was a cage match that made more sense. There was no crazy high spots for the top. Oh, I'm going to do a flying headbutt.
No, it was just like, really, we're going to do a cage match. But I think it was mainly no big spots because this was not pay-per-view.
Yes.
Once again, like we said, this could have been the match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, there was no cage match at WrestleMania.
I really think that JBL and Benoit have very good chemistry in the ring.
But you couldn't set up a cage match with them because of the hand injury, you know.
That's true. And also another thing about JBL, he throws some stiff punches. I was like, damn. I was like, ah. So anyway, let me get into the match. JBL and Benoit exchange blows early in the match. JBL lands a shoulder block, Cena style, and runs to exit the cage. He climbs. Benoit runs and pulls him down and then knocks him off the top rope. Benoit tries to escape himself, but JBL backdrops him off. First big spot of the night. Nice to see that they were both trying to get the match over with trying to escape the cage.
Mm-hmm.
JBL then attempts to escape again. Benoit climbs the ropes to stop him with a series of headbutts, but JBL throws him down to the mat. He falls out with 2.5 amigos because Benoit escapes and tries the sharpshooter. That's why it's called the 2.5 amigos. What I'm offended by is the announcer saying that when JBL does the 3 amigos, it's disrespectful when we know a couple of weeks ago that Eddie and JBL were the best of friends.
But not a couple of weeks ago.
I mean, a couple of months ago. But you know what I mean. It's just like, damn it, how can we just call them the triple suplex or just call them the 3 amigos and not mention Eddie? You don't really
know. How about the 3 friends?
You know. So, anyway, what happens is Benoit applies the 3 amigos to JBL, and then he signals for the diving headbutt. And, in rare form, he connects. He climbs the cage, but JBL stops him and does a Russian leg sweep from the top rope. JBL does the electric chair, and Benoit preventing Benoit from escaping. Then he applies a sleeper hold. Benoit lands 2 of the triple Germans, but JBL escapes and plants him with a big boot. JBL tries to escape, but Benoit stops him with a super German suplex from the top rope. Benoit goes for the door, but Jillian Hall runs to stop him, but the ref stops hers. JBL moves Benoit out of the way and goes for the door, but Jillian slams it into his face. Benoit applies the crossface, but the ref is distracted by Jillian outside and does not see JBL.
But there were 2 refs standing there.
Anyway, because Benoit attempts another German, but JBL grabs the refs and holds him and delivers a low blow to the crouch of Chris Benoit, and then he slivers out of the cage and scores the victory. I thought that this was a good match because I liked the little twist when Jillian slammed the cage into JBL's face.
That was one of the smartest things they've done in a while. It because it just looked like because she thinks Benoit's still there, and she would have no knowledge that JBL would be so cunning and go, gah, and try to get out. So she slammed on his head.
Because I just hope Margaret said, oh, damn it, here they go. She's about to slam the door into Benoit's face. You were so upset by that.
I knew it because anytime somebody try to go in that door and they're not a bad guy, the door gets on the face. But let me say this. Great match, and you don't see many cage matches this good in which the cage was used for the purpose for what it is made
for.
To
keep people outside
of it. To keep people out. It wasn't actually used as a weapon that much.
And what's crazy about this, too, JBL is not in the best shape, but he's still putting on good matches. I don't understand.
Well, in the match, you can see that he wasn't in great shape as Taz pointed out. JBL is just exhausted.
But the point is, look at the Dudleys. They're out of shape, but they can't even give you a good match.
Well, the street fight wasn't that bad.
Marcus, when Chris Harris whipped Bubba into the corner and Bubba jogged, that did not bother you?
It bothers me, but the match was okay in that match.
It was okay, but it's still suppressible. So now moving on to something I'm just going to go quickly over.
By the way, I want to comment on this right quick. Uh-huh. This was a great match, and I think, honestly, they should have made this the main event of the night for one reason and one reason only. Because I think, my whole philosophy, if you have a singles title on the line like you do back in the day, many times, you put the U.S. title, since it is a singles title, that's the main event, since the heavyweight.
Well, Marcus, technically it was the main event.
Well, yeah, Orton.
No, it was the main event, because you know, this is technicality. I'm about to drop some knowledge on people. Have you guys ever wondered how come when you watch wrestling, it says the TV 14 again after the 9 o'clock hour?
I don't know.
Because it's 2 separate shows. So technically, the Benoit-JBL match was the main event for the first hour of the first show. And Kurt Angle versus
Orton. I noticed!
But I feel that the Kurt Angle and Randy Orton should have been the main event for the simple fact that they need to establish the King of the Ring. That's what their focus is. So
this but Mabel won the King of the Ring!
Marcus, did not bring up Mabel winning.
Okay.
So let's get to the Giant Khalil. Marcus, do you have any comments on this?
Or can I just read it? Okay. I had no idea what you said.
I can just read it and move on to the next match, right?
Yes.
Okay. They recapped the casting match at WrestleMania. What happened last week on SmackDown when Undertaker was attacked by the Giant Khalil. Tony Chimo then introduces the manager extraordinaire, Daivari. Daivari says for 16 years, Undertaker has been called the Phenom, but he isn't anymore. He says that Khalil is the real Phenom because he is over 7 feet tall and weighs 420 pounds. He has walked the Punjab jungle in India, and he is not afraid of snakes and tigers.
Yes!
Khalil yells, he is the great Khalil, at least that's all that we can understand. And then Daivari added, you will loathe, fear, and worship Khalil. The next match after this you said you had no comments.
I just want to say this. I feel it's discrimination that they chanted USA doing this.
Anyway, why did you say you had no comments?
Wanted to throw in a comment. Just throw you a curveball.
So anyway, it's the Mexicos versus the lime green suit manager, Simon Dean's team, the Gemini.
No segue, no Dean Machine.
Well, he can't bring the Dean Machine out when he got the Gemini.
Why not?
Because they can carry him out, man. They're the Gemini.
But he does it on velocity.
And we find out that they have names. They're Jesse and Jake.
Can't tell them apart.
Can't tell the difference. I swear to God, they still look like the Basham on steroids, but it doesn't matter.
Probably is.
Jesse pushes Psychosis to the outside of the ring. He falls super crazy, tries to stop him, but he's just shoved onto the lawnmower. They land a double suplex on Psychosis. Jake gets caught with a boot, super crazy tags in and lands a missile dropkick on Jesse, a springboard dropkick on Jake, and then a baseball slide on Jake when he went through Jesse's legs. They pull the switcheroo as all twin tag teams does, and they do an inverted back suplex on Super Crazy for the win.
And I like to just right here to slow it down, actually, because how do you really follow that cage match and the giant Kweli?
I see what this did for me. It was kind of like, I guess, what they wanted that Diva Pillow Fight to do at WrestleMania. Something to get you ready for the main event.
Well, the Diva Pillow Fight really didn't get me ready for the main event.
But no, the thing is, though, you know, like, not a match that's important. But see, like, this match, it wasn't that important, but it wasn't a bad match. It was a quick match. It got you ready for the main event.
Yeah, but let me comment on the Gemini. Twin tag teams have never worked.
No.
I've not seen one successful twin tag team ever. The old switcheroo never gets you the title. Well, it may get you the title. The Basham got it, but, you know, it never makes you into the greatest tag team ever. So, I think they're screwed.
Indeed. So we're moving on to the main event, Randy Orton versus Kurt Angle. Not their best match that they could have pulled off, but understanding
the success. Under the circumstances, Randy didn't want to perform.
No, it's not that he went. I think they didn't want to have Randy outshine, but it still was a good basic match. Angle lands belly to bellies on Orton, then clothesline Orton over the top rope. He applies the ankle lock, but Randy rolls through it and throws Angle shoulder first into the ring post. Orton focuses on Angle arm or shoulder the entire night. Angle applies the ankle lock again. Orton tries to roll through it, but Angle holds on. Orton kicks out of the ankle lock and then lands a dropkick to the arm and then applies the armbar and headlock. Angle escapes the key lock arm lock with a European uppercut. He charges Orton and Orton backdrops him over the top rope and Angle lands in a funny position. Orton tries to suplex Angle back inside of the ring, but Angle reverses it and suplex Orton outside of the ring, and Orton lands in a funny position, and he sells like his ankle was hurt. Angle lands the triple Germans and pulls down his strap and goes for the Angle slam, but Orton counters with his modified backbreaker. Randy goes for the RKO, but Angle reverses that into an ankle lock. Randy taps out, but Angle does not let go of the ankle lock. He finally lets go, and then he applies it again. Orton sells the ankle being hurt. Kurt begins to walk away, but guess what? He comes by for the third time because the third time's the charm. He puts it on again. As they go off, you hear Randy saying, "My ankle is broke."
And that's how they're going to get him off the show.
Pretty much, he's off the show for 60 days or an indefinite amount.
Yes. Anyway, that was a hell of a show for SmackDown.
I think it was a hell of a show. Well-paced.
Yes.
Didn't ruin anything for me.
No stupid boogeyman. We didn't need him.
No, and I look forward to next week being just as good because, once again, what SmackDown is doing really well for me, they're selling it on wrestling matches. And I think that's the thing about Raw. Raw doesn't have any matches that you can put people against because they don't have no jobbers that you can really put the stars against. You don't have somebody like a Simon Dean for Shelton Benjamin to fight.
No, not that they don't have jobbers. They don't have quality jobbers.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They don't have jobbers that are believable that you can win.
I mean,
like the Mexicos versus the Gemini. Hate to say, I didn't know who was going to win that match.
Yeah, because, you know, the Mexicos has been lately, before they were getting hyped up as the next tag team contender, they lost. And
yeah.
Then they slowly kept going down.
Like, Raw's downfall is that all their matchups are kind of like main event matchups.
Not really.
On paper. Yeah. Like, you have your RVD versus Shelton Benjamin. I'm not saying that the match translates into a main event status, but you lose some credit to one of your stars when you can have a Shelton Benjamin versus that's where Val Venus came in.
Or Chavo worked.
Or what about Trevor Murdoch? He was fat, but he served a purpose.
He's fighting heat. He fights Goldust like every week on heat.
Oh, God.
He is so bad. It's like Eugene versus Nisky. It's just the same four guys wrestling every week in many different combinations in their main event.
I just think the problem with them is that they buried so many of their superstars so bad that it's hard to give them any credibility. They were so quick on promoting things.
The only thing they promote is Triple H and pretty much a feud with Edge and Cena and all them.
See, what SmackDown does, they give you that mystery factor. You don't know who's going to win. Well, I mean, some matches you can predict, but then sometimes they trick you up sometimes. Like, because I will tell you, really thought the Mexicans was going to win. Didn't think they were going to lose to the Gemini.
I was skeptical of who was going to win, and I was disappointed that they didn't lose, but it's all right.
It's all right.
It wasn't a clean... Psychosis dropped the ball in that match by tripping over the middle rope.
Doesn't look like they're in the title contention right now anyway. It looks like it's Paul London and Brian Kendrick.
I wouldn't mind a triple threat feud for a title. When's the last time you had a triple threat tag match?
I have no idea. But that's enough for SmackDown. We'll be back after our short break where our listener feedback, and then our show will be over. Hallelujah.
Period.
Now it's time for listener feedback.
Do we even break?
No. Well,
that short little tippet music is so...
No, the bad part about it, we don't even break. We just sit here and just edit and go from there. So anyway, we received an email from Aaron. He's a new listener. He says, "Hey guys, I just started listening to your podcast,
yes,
and I think it's pretty good. I downloaded some of the old episodes to catch up, etc. Hope you didn't go to episode 1.
Don't go start from episode like 7. Start at episode 10.
No, I was actually say start at episode 50. That's where we hit the prime.
What? That's 10 episodes ago.
Oh, no. He says, "I don't think Cena is so bad. Just that it's the same thing they did to Orton. Made him from a heel to the typical 80s face. Take your vitamins, drink your milk, and love the fans.
Oh, yeah!
If they let him get his attitude back, it might work. But point being, he needs to turn heel or lose the belt and break an ankle. One idea they could use is that he holds the belt to one night stand the week before if you have a tag RVD and Cena versus Triple H and Edge. After Cena and RVD wins, you have Cena FU RVD off the stage and say something like, now he can't use the money to bank at one night stand, and then do some ECW bashing, and then at the pay-per-view, RVD comes out and still wins the belt, and there you have a rivalry where you can have Triple H and RVD at SummerSlam later." Now, the pause from the email, reading reports on the net, they honestly do not know who's going to face RVD at ECW. They know that it's going to be RVD. Some people are saying that Triple H should do it, and other people said that John Cena should be it, because the thing is, they're actually considering turning Triple H face, what I think is a mistake.
I think that's a good move.
I think
it's time.
Well, you know what?
How long, Eric? How long can you be so evil?
No, but I put it up. Put him without the sledgehammer?
He can still have the sledgehammer.
I understand. Triple H
that
is
could be like his Mr. Socko.
Triple H is one of those cats that, even if he's considered a good guy, he's still a bad guy. But I think what they really can lead to is really making John Cena bad.
No.
I think the whole thing of him being bad, then, yes, the fans can boo him. He goes out and says, fuck, forget the fans.
Oh, well, anyway, I feel that the storyline that he drew up right here is perfect, but with the wrong guy. I think you pull Cena out there and you put Triple H there, because currently, professional wrestlers been selling John Cena as the new age wrestler with an office move, and Triple H is tradition. And what is ECW? That is not traditional wrestling. That is hardcore-type wrestling, and... You know, and it takes Triple H out of it, and they can go with the whole, it's tradition versus whatnot and all that, and RVD can win the title there.
All right, then his email continues. He says, "Another issue I wanted to talk about was the other champion. First off, I'm a short and Mexican, so I love Reyes champion. But for wrestling reasons, I have been a fan for 14 years, and so I don't just take what the WWE feeds me. You guys are better than some other fans who just hate anyone who is champion and isn't 6'10 and 350.
Yes.
But still, I would like to bring up points to you guys who seem to know what you're talking about. One, he deserves the belt. He worked hard for it, and he has been used to make bad guys look good for so long. I would agree. He does deserve the belt. My issue is, stop pointing out his size.
Yeah.
Ray can wrestle. He's not the best talker, but he can wrestle.
He is a great wrestler, but I just never could see him. Some people, say for example, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, never really won anything. But he was a hard worker, great wrestler, you know, he did everything right. It's just some people, I just never felt like they should be champion. I don't have any problem with him being champion, personally, I don't care. Because champion really doesn't mean nothing to me really anyway, it's the best wrestler I like. But... it's just, some people, it's more believable when they're, not like a 6'8", 7-footer, and just like some people just shouldn't be champion, because I don't believe his mic skills are up to championship level. That's the only problem.
Mark, let's save our comments for when we finish the email, because I kind of feel like we cut off his point, because
he said
point one, he said, you can't just constantly use him as a stepping stone.
Well, reread it!
Okay, he says, two, What is it? Okay for Ray to beat a big guy in a no title match, but not a title match is a double standard. He has proved he can beat a big guy and make it believable, unlike one-legged wrestlers beating the Big Show. And it doesn't have to always be David versus Goliath match. Benoit versus Ray would be awesome. Hell, even Angle versus Ray would be good. Just don't book him against Mark Henry. By the way, don't book any Henry versus anyone every week.
But correct.
Wait.
Oh, okay.
Plus, this can set up for Batista's comeback where Ray wins a tough match versus someone, say Benoit, in a killer match. He's celebrating the outcomes Batista and powerbombs Ray to hell, and then sets up a match and give Batista the belt back and have him be a heel. Hell, do the idea of him joining Triple H again where they rule both shows. Mm-hmm. I'm going on too much. Point being, you can use Ray for a good while as champion, 2 to 4 months, to set up something else bigger. I admit he isn't a long-term champion, but at the same time, he's not a weak champion. You say he should bring credit to the Cruiserweight by being champion. I get that, but I think he would make the other Cruiserweights look like chumps if he went back to them. Either that, or he would have to tone it down to face them, kind of like RVD does to wrestle mid-carders. The WWE has to stop throwing the sizes of Vision in our face every 2 minutes, and the things will get better for Ray. Plus, what the fun is seeing the same guys have the belt. And if Orton has a whole career to have numerous title runs, if he's not fired, I hope this isn't too long. I also hope that you understand where I'm coming from. Maybe I will write again. Peace out, guys. First of all, your email was not too long, Aaron.
We even had longer.
Yeah, you make valid points, and I agree. Ray is not a bad champion. My thing is that he is a transitional champion. You cannot see Ray Mysterio holding the belt for a year. The Batista angle, yes, but the thing about that is you have to come up with a good reason why Batista does not like Ray Mysterio no more.
The good reason is he didn't earn the title. Because he never beat him. That's the only thing he do. He can always say, I'm the champion and whatnot. And no matter that, he said the whole thing that really made me like, ooh, Chris Benoit versus Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
That match would be awesome. I mean, Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio, those matches work. But you, and although he did, and you know that one Mark Henry match he had was actually pretty good when he lost, you don't need to see that again.
Honestly, though, Chris Benoit versus Rey Mysterio seemed like something that could be happening because Chris Benoit is not involved in the King of the Ring.
Yes, he is. He's in the King of the Ring.
He is?
Yeah. He's fighting Philly first round.
Oh, okay. Never mind it. JBL's not involved in King of the Ring.
Yeah, but he can't feud him with JBL.
No, because he's a champion. You can't have champion versus champion. But something has to be done where I think you don't have him face the big guys. You stay, keep him away from the... Honestly, the only person that's really big right now that Rey Mysterio really couldn't face would be The Undertaker. I mean, Kurt Angle, good size.
Well, Undertaker's busy fighting Cena.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, so only, pretty much all the people that Ray can feud with right now are actually believable. Only thing is that the announcers need to stop pointing out the damn size.
They need something. Oh, he's only 5'4 and 100 some pounds and whatnot. Oh, also, I want to comment on him going to the Cruiserweight division and how you make him look bad. I don't think so. There are some Cruiserweights that have toned it down because Vince doesn't want Cruiserweights to be Cruiserweights. Because Kid Cash, from what I've seen of him in TNA and in WWE, he can do some cool stuff.
He's responsible for Lance Hoyt.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he is.
There is no proof of that. But he's very athletic. Paul London is probably the best cruiserweight they got. Jamie Noble, I don't know, because he's more of a heavyweight but little guy type of wrestler. I don't know. But I don't know. I think Ray could establish the Cruiserweight and wouldn't make them look
bad. Well, I think the Cruiserweights are established. The problem is all the Cruiserweights now are tag teams.
Yeah, and Gregory is hurt.
I think that's
that killed it because they were actually getting that push, but the Cruiserweight title is apparently cursed.
All right, so we received...
Oh, is there something else I'm missing?
No.
Oh, by the way, on his email, who would challenge Ray right now?
That's a good question.
The King of the Ring is just... He's like... It's the wrong time to be champion.
But we had... No, actually, it's the perfect time for him to be champion. It's the one time a champion doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, but he has to do something.
I mean, you can find whoever doesn't get eliminated at the King of the Ring.
It has to be Mark Henry. He's not in the King of the Ring, is he?
Yes, he is, and he's in the King of the Ring. Well, I think the perfect person is Benoit. I think that's just the person. Or Angles. One of these cats he got a feud with. It's just...
I think Benoit, because you can have Benoit lose to Finley in the King of the Ring tournament, and put him versus Lashley in the next round, which would make sense. And put Benoit just to be a friendly little... They don't have to feud with each other since they are friends, you know, the whole Eddie Guerrero thing. But say, And how about Ray offered Benoit since you got screwed out of a USA title? How about I give you a try at the
world title? It's gotta be something that has to be done. Also, I think the draft is coming up, so God knows who's gonna happen there.
No.
I think Kurt Angle might go back to Raw. I prefer him on Raw.
I like him on SmackDown. Kurt Angle can go anywhere, honestly. It's like, who's he going to have a bad match with?
I don't know. So anyway, we received an email from Manny. He says, what's up, guys? First of all, to kick off this email, he would like to congratulate me on my gimmick, on my engagement.
Gimmick, what?
I would like to say thank you. It is no gimmick. I am engaged.
Your storylines are flawed.
Anyway, a few weeks back, you announced both your top five next Hall of Fame picks. When thinking about it today, after insulting one of my buddies, calling him the Fink, Howard Finkel, I'm thinking he should be inducted into the Hall of Fame for being the longest-lasting WWE employee and not to mention being a pretty much every WrestleMania.
He should be in because he's the most known wrestling figure in pay-per-views. I mean, at WrestleMania, it's the Fink doing the announcing. That's the only time he's really, like, doing anything. And I thought he was in.
I thought he was, too.
I'm not sure. But he might be wrong.
Also, he points out that Ricky the Dragon Steamboat should be, and I kind of forgot about him.
Yeah.
I know Marcus, wait, you don't have beef with the Steamboat.
I have somewhat beef because every time I seen him wrestle, he always won. It's not like a Steiner beef or a Norman Smiley, well, not Norman Smiley, but Steiner or like a Shark Boy or Bullet Bob beef. It's just a regular old,
He says the British Bulldog. Personally, for me, not the British Bulldog, what? But I would put the British Bulldogs in, the tag team.
Oh, the tag team.
I prefer the tag team.
I wouldn't mind both of them getting him and the Dynamite Kid together.
I think you put them in as a tag team instead of putting them in as just the British Bulldog.
Well, the British Bulldog was a pretty good single.
He was pretty good, but I think he was more established when it was the Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy Smith. For me, personally. And, of course, Ted DiBiase, $1 million man.
DB has to get in.
And none other than Norman Smiley. Only joking, who other than good old JR? WWE.com decided to give away the ending on their site of the King of the Ring match, informing that Orton was a downward spiral and had lost an angle and had also broken his ankle. This is possibly a work to get Orton off TV to endure his 60-day suspension, which totally sucks.
Yeah.
I really think the ankle injury is a work. They're just trying to sell it.
Get him off for 60 days.
I think some people say Orton should seek counseling. I'm not really sure. He might need to go talk to Daddy. I'm not...
Well, who knows? Daddy might be egomaniac, too.
The only people that know what the situation is really about are the people that the situation involves. So, I'm not going to speculate anymore. I hate to see Orton off TV, but what can he do? I read on wrestling news site that Ashley's blog over on MySpace, she has said that she has had the cast removed and she started rehabbing. And also that she has got some Molly Holly tapes to study. Lord, she needs more than Molly Holly tape.
She needs Molly Holly to replace her.
Yes. Then he asks, what's with all the religion-related stuff going on in WWE? We got Triple H calling himself the King of Kings. Now, before we continue, I know this is off religion. Me and Marcus and also our brother Ryan concurred that whoever rings the King of the Ring should steal Triple H theme music.
Yes, his promo theme music.
Or just borrow it just for
the... Because it fits for the King of the Ring. I mean, bow down to the king.
Exactly.
You know?
So anyway, on Velocity, the announcer seems to call Jamie Noble the Redneck Messiah.
They do.
Indeed. Vince McMahon wanted to feud with Shawn Michaels because HBK is God's homeboy. And Evan even booking God to a WWE contract to face at Backlash. Come on now, WWE, fix up. Look sharp. Can I ask you guys a question?
Never been reading the Bible.
can I ask you guys a question?
What?
What if... I know this isn't going, what if God did show up at that match?
What? And just strike down on
Vince? Yeah, strike down on Vince. Just be like, all you people are, I'm just saying.
Not just be absurdly crazy.
And nothing we can do.
No, I'm just saying, the writers have ran out of things to do. They wanted to continue to, Vince wanted to continue this feud, so that's why that guy's thing is going on. I don't know if Triple H is more of a religious other than him just going ego. I don't know if he's just trying to be religious or not.
Oh.
I'm not sure about that.
All right, then he goes into his Thursday Night Impact. He says, stupid to start with a great match halfway through it.
No.
The beginning of the match was on TNAWrestling.com and could be viewed earlier in the week. Didn't know that. Why must Samoa Joe defend against Sabu? That's surprise Christian Cage, not in the arena again. Finally, a week without Team 3D versus Team Canada. Well, almost anyway. The boss is back. Spike is back on Spike TV.
The boss.
But how am I supposed to believe that Spike is able to take out the whole of Team Canada with, for weeks, D-Von and Bubba couldn't? Oh, my brother, testify.
Oh, my brother, testify. Well, anyway, Spike can't do it. I mean, got Spike Dudley. Oh God, we got the boss. He gonna lead us to greatness. The boss is gonna lead them to greatness. And I mean, they got A1 Bobby Roode, Petey Williams, Eric Young, and Scott D'Amore. How in the hell is Spike Dudley at like 90 pounds, who looked thinner than he did when he was in WWE, is going to take out
smoking
the
rocks?
Don't say that. I smoke rocks. Don't say that. Don't do that. Can't do that about Spike. He's bony as hell.
Okay, and the last of the email ends. He says, Kurt Angle 316 says, I just snapped your ankle. Yeah, following up last week. Orton, see you in 2 months. What was the deal with Booker T getting all stiff after getting speared by Lashley?
I didn't know that. Why was his leg stick up in the air? What was that? Well, he hit that nerve in which you can't move your leg for like 5 minutes.
Anyway, Impact and SmackDown having something in common this week. Where was the champion? Instead, we get a video package of them. Mm-hmm. Brian Kendrick has one of the best entrance themes ever. Shame he has to use Paul London's lame tune half the time. Cage match was decent, but nothing I haven't seen before. Peace, Manny. Now, we appreciate your email, Manny. Now, I know I received a lot of email about our show, discussion show, about it was just going to be about John Cena, but I think we should do it about both champions. Why not? Let's get both champions.
What, Ray 2?
Ray 2. As soon as I work out a time and we fix the schedule, I will email the people who will be able to participate. If you're still interested in participate, drop me an email and we'll see who can bid on it.
Now you gotta be like pro Cena or against Cena or pro Mysterio and against Mysterio.
Yeah, we just need to have some diversity in there.
I'm telling you, we need a poll question.
And we're trying to get two people. Or who's the worst champion?
Not who's the worst champion.
Who do you hate more, Cena or Mysterio?
No, because nobody hates Mysterio.
That's true.
They just don't think he's a believable champion. I feel the poll question should be, yeah, who's the better champion?
Cena, well, we know who's going to win, Mysterio.
How do you know that?
Because Mysterio got more moves.
Yeah, but...
And we don't have that many... We don't have that many listeners under 7.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So anyway,
all women.
This is pretty much our show. As you can see, we have come to the end of the lovely show.
Are we?
Yes, we are at the end. So I'm Eric.
No, wait.
What?
TheSharpshooters.blogspot.com. Send an email at TheSharpshooters@gmail.com. Please vote for us at Podcast Alley. Write a review on iTunes if you want or you feel like it. Use the Fabric Map so we can know where you are because that's cool and stuff like that. And now we get in the show because Eric doesn't use the Posse Music that way.
And because Marcus does not know about Skype, remember, leave us a voicemail with the username The Sharpshooters or drop us a line 310-928-6889. Remember, long distance fees apply. Come on, people, use the voicemail. Everybody almost in the world got cell phones. I understand if you're overseas, but if you're in America, come on, drop us a line.
Come on.
Come on. Well, anyway, that's the show.
Come on.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the Grand Finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. We will see you guys for episode 62.
The sequel.
Man, we got to really come up with a different catchphrase. The sequel's just getting tired.
I'm sick of the sequel.
Me too. All right,
the prequel. We go back. We go backwards. We go 59. The prequel.
I'm going to slap him around, guys. We'll see you guys next week.